It was May 2023 when I interviewed Ryan Montes, former private detective and Canadian soldier, who has shared his story, how he turned transformational coach and trainer. Today, we are going to deep dive what happened since and explore the changes and developments in the transformation industry. Welcome to the Online Business by Design podcast. I'm your host, Ivana Ivanek, and this is your mindset and marketing podcast to help you build a business next to your 9-to-5 without burning out. And most importantly, enjoying your business journey while you're making money and impact. Grab your favorite note-taking device, lean back, and get inspired. I believe that everything you need to build a business of your dreams is already within you. Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Online Business by Design podcast. I've been waiting for today for so long because today I'm meeting Ryan Montes, who I have met 1.5 years ago, where we explored his story, which he will shortly speak about it. But today we are going to deep dive into something that is currently going on that is so important for you if you are currently building a digital business. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, I'm very glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me back.
I was very thankful when you raised your hand and being like, what? Interviews again? Let's do it. Because a lot has changed since we spoke the last time. Back then I was in Thailand at the time. We were traveling with my partner for a year. So we connected from Chiang Mai all the way to Toronto. And you shared with us your story. For those who haven't listened to the episode, it is episode 23. You will need to scroll all the way down to the former Fabulous by Design podcast if you want to listen to the nuggets that Ryan shared with us 1.5 years ago. They are still very relevant. It's a mindset nuggets packed episode. And could you still maybe introduce yourself shortly? And for those who don't know you, just let us know how you got from detective, soldier to NLP coach and trainer, transforming not only people's lives, but also teaching business.
Yes. Okay. Absolutely. So very briefly, my first real career was as a private investigator in Canada, operating in Ontario and Quebec. And that's kind of where the coaching journey in the background started to develop. So when I was on the road, I was doing stakeouts. I was in vehicles for sometimes 12 or more hours a day. I would be constantly listening to audiobooks, listening to recorded courses and learning. And I was learning about the unconscious mind, how to make change in ourselves, how to make change in others. And most importantly, about some specific modalities like hypnosis, neurolinguistic programming, timeline therapy, et cetera, So after being a detective and simultaneously studying those things at significant depth, because it was like 40 to 50 hours a week of listening to course content every working week for years. After that, I joined the military. I was with the military for 5 years, which was another, you know, interest and passion of mine. After the military, I decided it was time to start my own business. And by the time I left the Canadian Army, I had been in one form or another, been studying coaching, hypnosis, NLP, subconscious mind work, and transformation for about, I think, 15 years at that time, putting it all together through two careers. And, you know, and when I look back at the personal development stuff I was doing even before those. So it was a pretty logical, you know, progression. When I retired from the military, I knew I wanted to have my own business. Well, I may as well make it about, you know, the thing that I've been passionately studying and applying and executing behind the scenes all these years, which was personal development, coaching, and specifically NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and hypnosis. So that year, which would have been 2019, I did, you know, like I said, I've been studying it for quite a long time, so I was very familiar with the work, but I went and got formal training, got certifications, you know, got it all on paper, all that good stuff. And by the end of 2019, I was doing coaching and just about to start my own training programs as well for coaches. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that. I remember when we met first time, it was 2023, but I was on your journey probably a little bit earlier already, observing what you've been doing. And especially because as a strategist and you as a detective and also doing strategic work and building, helping people to build businesses, observations are important, observations of the industry. I learned a lot from you back in the days on how to leverage social media, though it has never worked as good for me as for you, not Instagram at least. And I remember in our first interview, in the beginning of the episode, you said, I'm focusing on social media mainly, which was 2023. And at some point, I just saw my hero Ryan disappearing from this platform. And which is okay, I believe, because everybody has their breaks. There is some work going on and there is no obligation to social media, so to say, right? But I've been observing and I kept on observing and observing changes and that guy not coming back. And just shortly before I was ready to thinking like, you know what, stop making up stories, Ivana, just shoot him an email, right? You've been in touch differently as well. Just go ask how he is doing because I was making up, perhaps he's not well and, you know, just some brain farts here and there. And then I thought, and just when I was ready to write you an email, you appear in my mailbox being like, hey, guess who's back with some news. So I would love to hear from you. What has happened in this year that you, when you changed your strategic plan and not only leveraging social media for business, but as you observed the changes, you jumped on different trains. Would you like to take us through that when the changes started happening? Why? What you observed and how you leveraged it.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. So that's something I've heard from lots of people. Like, why am I less present on social media? What happened? Where did I go? Am I sick? All these very natural questions. The good news, everybody, is I'm totally fine. Business has been consistently growing at about the same rate for the last 5 years, with pretty much no exception. Despite the fact that, as you pointed out, in sort of late 2023 and definitely into mid 2024, I was really tapering down the amount of time and energy just that I was putting into making content for social media. And, when social media is one of the most easily visible parts of a person's life and business, from the outside looking in, it's very easy to assume, well, everything is tapering down. When in reality, the only thing that was tapering down was like posting on social media. The business was moving at the same pace. Life is moving at the same pace. So I totally get why you got that, that perception. And really what it was a combination of a few things, Ivana, and you mentioned, part of being in this business and being effective in this business is paying attention to what's going on in the industry. And like I said, since 2019, I've been very closely connected to a lot of coaches, hypnotherapists, and people in this business at all times, right? And so a big piece of feedback that I get from people, especially from coaches who are more on the therapeutic end of the spectrum versus the performance end of the spectrum. So like hypnotherapists that help people, or NLP coaches that help people with emotional challenges in their life. The human beings that tend to gravitate to those roles tend to also be the types of human beings that don't want to be highly visible on social media. Right. So I was training people in hypnotherapy and NLP. They were getting, really great skills, really good, results with their clients. And then they were coming to me as their trainer saying, well, okay, now that I know how to help people, how do I get more clients? And when I was starting my business, I was a person who didn't mind being on social media, I didn't mind being on video. I would kind of,
You
for
did
lack of a better
amazing.
term,
I think
yeah, it's,
I
yeah,
learned a lot from you. I learned how to look in a camera. I learned how to do this simple editing, which I eventually dropped because I realized I'm not Ryan Montes. That was a big learning for me. Yeah. So.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that. But what I realized, like to your point, was, if I'm going to mentor people to be effective as they possibly can be, I need to meet them where they are, right? And when I keep seeing over and over coaches and hypnotherapists saying to me, this social media thing, this being like a pseudo celebrity online is just not me. Well, rather than me trying to convince them or force them or train them into doing something that is, it's not that it's just outside of their comfort zone, it's outside of their value zone, right? there's a big difference there. I think that might have been something that we've talked about in the past, but I thought, well, is it possible for people to grow their businesses, have an impact, connect with potential clients without doing something that is just like not of interest to them at all? And of course it is. There's a million different ways to grow a business. There's like many successful entrepreneurs before the internet even existed, right? So it was just this combination of circumstances where I was getting feedback from the people that I was serving that they were looking for other ways outside of social media. And I'm not saying to boycott social media. I'm just really, my thesis is, or my mantra is more, we don't need to rely solely on social media. It can be something that,
Rely, you mean sales, lead generation, if we now go back to the specifics.
sales, lead gen, visibility, discoverability, right? It can be part of the equation, but it doesn't need to be the whole equation. And for some people, it doesn't need to be really any part of the equation. Okay. It's just this combination of factors of hearing that feedback from the people who were, asking me for help. My own kind of, most things after a while, the novelty, begins to wear off. Like being a soldier was very exciting and interesting during the first couple of years, and the novelty wore off. Being a detective was very interesting and exciting for the first couple of years, and the novelty wore off. Being highly visible and, and effective on social media, it was fun for a couple of years, and certainly that's how I grew my business in those first couple of years. But it eventually the allure of it started to dull a little bit, even for me. And so for all these reasons, I just, I took it upon myself to answer the question, how can I continue to grow my coaching business with less social media? And then can I take those lessons and teach them to these people who are hurting for strategy, tactics, and principles that allow them to do the same thing? And the answer so far has been a resounding yes. Like I said, it's hard for people to tell what's going on when you stop posting on social media. But I can't remember if I actually made this post or not. But going from somebody who got 99% of my clients and customers from social media, in 2024, I posted 90% less on social media than the year before, and still saw an increase in my business revenue because of the other stuff that I was doing outside of social media.
Okay.
There.
What is the other stuff?
That's the big question. That's the big question, right? Hopefully, that's the big question in people's minds if they're listening to this and they're saying, "Yeah, I'm not too keen on that social media stuff either." And before I give away all the secrets, I do want to say, I was talking about this with some of my clients on a coaching call the other day. It's really important, if people are hearing this and they're saying, "Yeah, I hate social media, I hate posting, I hate being seen on social media." It's really important to be honest with yourself and bring into your conscious awareness if that's because it's just a preference, you don't like social media, it doesn't work for you, like it's not your jam, or in many cases, people do want to be seen on social media and they do want to be effective on social media, but there's something in them that is resisting that. There's some unconscious fear of rejection or some unconscious, maybe diminished self-worth. And, I would hate for somebody to be in that situation, knowing how easily that can be healed when we bring it into conscious awareness, and then they could go be a social media star if they want to be. I would hate for somebody to just never heal those things because here's some other avenue that they can use to get clients. So folks, if you're listening to this, that's really important. There's no business strategy that is worth pursuing if it's going to mean you don't heal a part of you or your life that is meant to be healed. So there's the big disclaimer. So there's the big disclaimer.
Appreciate you mentioning this because what we do at Fabulous Foundations is literally healing people from who desire to be visible online publicly in one way or the other, and just for whatever reasons, which is usually resistance, certain fears, and can't. And what this is very important to discover. And I truly believe that a personal brand, like when we now going from the industrial age, so to say, fast paced towards the digital era that is opening up so many opportunities. Like, we got to speak, guys, in a moment about the other possibilities, but simple social media can be so easy. I discovered a way of how I can have fun without doing all the things what people say how to do it. Okay. I think this was a time that has really made social media like a ugh feeling for so many people because you need to do it this way, you need to do it that way. And in the end, what I'm supposed to do anyway, because you don't know what to believe, right? But it is important to literally discover who you are and who you want to be publicly and build a brand on social media. Plus, it's for free. It's actually, if you consider it, as a very simple way of, finding communities and audiences, draw some data from it, et cetera. Whether it's now easy or not, so I'll leave this up for this later discussion. But you are right. Some people just do not want to do it. And let's dive into the other possibilities, what there
Yeah,
is.
absolutely. Yeah. Now I'm curious to hear more about what you have going on in your business, but perhaps that's a conversation for another day. Or perhaps I should just go back and listen to your whole archive of podcast
Or
episodes.
let's just drop in a moment. You can ask me. Perhaps there is something important people want to hear. So take us first through the
Okay.
after social media part, or what
Yeah.
you teach people who really don't have social media as a value to be like a influencer, celebrity, or however you want to call it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, to understand how to not use social media, we kind of have to understand like what are the couple of things that social media does help us accomplish when we choose to utilize it. And these are kind of universal needs of business owners or people who have products or services to get into the market. And so you need to be discoverable, right? You need people, there needs to be a way for people who don't yet know you to find out you exist and have a service or product,
Yeah,
right?
visibility is a
That's
non-negotiable.
exactly. Visibility, I call it discoverability, same thing, right? And on social media, with a decent presence on social media, you have that, right? The next thing is, people need to have a way to get to know you, get to understand your expertise, your authority, build trust. Some people call it the know, like, and trust factor, so that they can begin to see you as a viable provider of whatever that product or service is. Again, on social media, we do that by producing content, where we speak, teach, entertain, whatever the case may be. People can consume that content. And by doing that, they learn about us, learn about our service, and decide whether they want to trust us to invest in our service or not. That's step two, right? And then the last part is we got to sell them something, right? Make an offer, convert them to a paid client at an appropriate time. And again, we can accomplish this in many different ways, but it's very obvious in social media how those three things are done for most people. The problem with social media is that it tends to take time for all of that to occur, especially in a consistent manner, right? It's
Yes.
really rare that an entrepreneur like starts up an Instagram account, makes a couple of posts, and is like, "Oh, I've got sales within a couple of days." That's an exceedingly rare exception. For most people, it's like weeks, months, or years of posting with little traction, right? So if we could create or find a context where we don't bypass those things, we still need people to discover we exist. We still need to develop that know, like, and trust factor. We still need to make them an offer of service. But could we find a context where all of that happens in the shortest amount of time with the least amount of friction possible, right? And that's been my modus operandi with creating my new coaching program that my clients are going through now and operating my business. And I kind of had a couple of events happen over the past few years where I realized not only is that possible for those that are willing to take certain actions, it's pretty simple. I wouldn't say easy, it's pretty simple. It's replicable, it's doable, and there's lots of opportunity to do it. And so, to give you a quick little mini story, a couple of years ago, I got invited to do a guest talk for somebody else's training group. It was a mastermind, for a company that teaches people hypnosis. So sort of similar to what I used to teach back in 2020, 2021, most frequently. And they wanted me to come in and talk about social media. Fancy that. Because I was so effective in my industry on social media. And I said, yeah, of course, I'll come in. And let me know exactly what you want me to talk about, where your people are at, and I wound up going in and doing like two little talks for an hour, 2 Fridays in a row. just speaking about stuff that I knew very well. It was very, it required little, effort or preparation for me because I was speaking from my own wheelhouse. And at the end of the second Friday, I did what I now call a by the way pitch. Call it a by the way pitch because I'm not into these big, like hard sell sales presentations, like value stack, all this, 15 minutes of building up emotions so I can make a sale. I like to sell by leading with value, by like demonstrating my expertise in a practical manner. And then if people want more, they can ask for more. So did these two talks at the end of the second day. I did like a by the way pitch, which must have been 3 minutes, where I just said, and I call it a by the way because it goes like this. By the way, if you liked what I've shared with you for these last couple of classes, I also have this program for this price. I recommend you hop in because it's pretty awesome, right? And I didn't think too much about it, but to a class of like it was less than 200 people. It was less than 200 people across the 2 days who consumed that content. And within 12 hours of the second class ending, I had 47 enrollments across two of my programs. Okay.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. Right. 47
That's a
enrollments
quarter
across.
of the audience you were speaking to
And
without a
that's
direct sales pitch. Let me
without
just,
a direct.
I'm savoring those words, right? And
Yeah.
we need to repeat this because this is big. This is not nothing. Like 200 people who were not even your people, you were invited by a colleague, a peer of yours from the industry to speak about what you are good at and to teach their audiences. You taught 2 hours over 2 weeks. You did not make a direct sales pitch because you believe in the value of first of all, giving value, showcasing your expertise, and make a, by the way, I've got something if you are interested. And 2 hours later, you enrolled a quarter of that audience into the two programs you are offering. Is that correct?
Yeah,
All right.
approximately.
Okay. I think this must have
Within
been an eye opener. And from there, you started rolling.
it was an eye opener, but at that time I had a lot going on. I had those two programs that I got 47 enrollments in, they had literally just opened that week. So, I was creating content for those programs, onboarding, people, welcoming people in. So there was a lot going on. I will admit the, gravity of that event didn't really sink in fully for months when I was, because like even just looking at industry averages and statistics for making a real sales presentation, not a by the way sales presentation, it's probably not even statistics for that. Those were astronomically good results. And then when I was doing my taxes, I think a year later, and I was looking at tracing back all the revenue to where like it had originated, I mentioned that was 47 enrollments in the first 12 hours. Well, those enrollments continued for over a year, and actually, I'm kind of still getting inquiries because there's a replay of that presentation out there in the world floating around. And I realized that that one presentation I could trace, multiple five figures in sales back to this one presentation that took me a total of like 3 hours of my time spread out over 2 Fridays. It was astronomical. And then I thought back to like other similar contexts, other similar situations, and I realized these results were not atypical. Like, when I did similar presentations for similar audiences, introduced by similar audience owners, I got similar results. And then I started, racking my brain for like all my peers, comrades, colleagues who have had similar spikes in sales, because like you were talking about earlier in the call, I've been very good and I'm grateful that I've done this to pay attention to what other people in my industry have been doing, right? And being in conversation with these people. And I realized there's a very clear pattern, and we can, to go back to that question, can we collapse that those three steps of just being discovered, building rapport, and making an offer and making a sale? Can we collapse them into a short period of time? And you can. Now I've seen it done in like 10 or 10 to 15 minutes from stranger to sale, for a service like coaching or hypnotherapy. which a lot of people still to this day believe is impossible, right? And there are a few little secrets, a few little criteria that need to be activated, and I'm happy to share them here on this podcast that make it possible.
Which leads me directly to the next question. What are those secrets?
What are those? Okay, let's get into these secrets because they're really good. The first one is, and obviously, maybe we should put a name on this method or this strategy. I call it AAA. I call it AAA. I call it adopt an audience. The trouble with social media, the way most people do it, is they're attempting to grow an audience from scratch, which is a very doable but very challenging thing to do. Okay, and growing your audience is very different than converting your audience to customers. It's two different things, okay? And that growing the audience part takes time, thought, effort, energy, right? That's actually the biggest part of being effective on social media is growing and nurturing the audience. So secret number one, when I say the term is adopt an audience, it's right there in the name. Don't grow from scratch an audience. Adopt or borrow or get in front of an audience that is already existing, is already warmed up, is already curated, has already demonstrated their intention for what goal they have or what problem they want to solve, because they're in that right headspace already to take forward movement and make forward action. So that's secret number one, is utilize and adopt an audience or borrow an audience or curate an audience from somebody else methodology. Secret number two, okay, and this really came into play during that one case study I told you about, is you must create this context in a manner where deservedly, it must be deservedly, the person who owns that audience, the normal leader, the normal person who assembled that audience, trusts you enough that they're gonna, when they introduce you, subconsciously excuse me, transfer the trust their audience has for them to you. Okay. I call this actually the law of trust transference, right? It's really different. You go and you go to a conference and somebody who's never met you before is a volunteer at the conference, introduces you, is like, hey, here's Ryan, he's an NLP trainer from Canada. Let's all give him a round of applause. That's one, introduction. But if you show up to do a talk and it's for somebody else's mastermind, and the person who's introducing you says, I want to tell you about Ryan Montes. 2 years ago, he and I got on a conversation. I didn't pay him a dime. And we talked about my business. He told me I was doing a couple of things dramatic. I'm not talking about you, by the way. I'm talking about a different person. He told me that I was doing a couple of things dramatically wrong. He gave me a couple of tips. And within the next 12 months, my revenue exploded by more than 200%. And so I'm really excited to invite him back today to speak to you guys about social media. And I want you to pay close attention to what he says. So when somebody introduces you, and that's a real introduction that I've received, grateful to say, when somebody introduces you that way and you're in that, the people in that audience, they're going to trust you. They're going to listen to what you have to say. If you have an offer at the end, they're not just going to brush it off. They're going to really consider if it's for them or not. Right? So that's secret number two. How are we doing so far? I feel like I'm saying a lot of things here.
I love it. Keep going, Ryan. This is so important, first of all. Secondly, seeing that social media hasn't always done it for the people. Like, you know what? We can share social media secrets. I personally believe by now, first of all, it's out of our control. We cannot control the algorithm. And whoever says that he or she did, well, congratulations, but you were either lucky, you have put enough work in, you were patient enough, but you have not controlled any algorithms because the algorithms are here not to be controlled. And secondly, we need to look beyond social media these days. I believe that far before COVID, when let's say 2015, 16, when you look at those older profiles existing on social media, they had an easier game. It was different. What was different? It was probably less people on the platforms. The digital innovation not being there yet where it is today digital courses, e-learning, also the transformation industry, like coaching, NLP training, any like trauma-informed coaching, et cetera, was just not on everybody's horizon like it is today. And the transformation industry grow extremely in the money that people have made in the transformation industry. And it is predicted to grow in only in 2025, I believe 70 million in the US, excluding e-learning and events. So just what
Wow.
manpower produces. So who doesn't want to have a cake of this, right? But what has also changed is that people's buying behavior is different. So we cannot deny that people have been burned, lied to, that people who have done good marketing but haven't delivered the results, unfortunately, did exist and still do exist. But people's buying behavior has changed simply because we are dealing with an informed buyer. People know how to buy. People know how digital courses work. People know what masterclasses are. We don't have to pretend like we're not going to sell to them anymore. When I open up a masterclass today, I'll be like, I welcome my friends, right? I welcome the people who are trusting me to learn with me for that hour. And I tell them, some people will be called to jump in the program I'm opening up in exactly 40 minutes from now. Others will not, right? If you don't have to pretend anymore. So things are changing and social media is changing now. When we speak about efficiency, time investment, and people who are building businesses next to their corporate job, perhaps, there is no time and no energy to just put all of it into social media for the mentioned reasons before, right? So building a brand is cool, but what you are just saying is just something that we can be so much more effective and get perhaps quicker. So I don't want to say it's easy because you have to do the work. You need to probably pitch yourself, but we'll get to that in a moment. But I do totally agree that social media alone is not enough, and it is not the visibility or discoverability strategy to go. Like there is other ways. Today we're going to discuss how to leverage other people's audiences further. So yes, I do agree, and I do think this is important. So we had number one, to repeat it. We had leveraging other people's audiences to go to an audience already existing that is warm, ready, curious, ready to buy, perhaps. Number two.
Number two is the law of trust transference, activating the
Yeah.
law of
So
trust
the
transference,
so the
which
person who has invited you, already introducing you as a trustworthy person because they know you, they worked with you, they spoke to you, they themselves trust you. Number three.
And number three is that anyone can do this as long as they have something valuable to offer, right?
Boom. Okay.
I acknowledge and I recognize that people can listen to this interview and say, well, okay, Ryan, but you're really good, a really good talker, and you've been around for a while and you were a soldier, and like you have all these little things that make people trust you. And I get that. Like, I get why somebody would say that and hear my situation and perceive it that way, which is why, and again, I don't want to teach my clients anything that isn't proven. I don't want to, teach them, yeah, I want to have done it myself first, but I also want to have looked at dozens or hundreds of case studies of other people that it worked for too. And there's more case studies out there than I could ever possibly document and track and share with my people. I share as many as I can. But the big thing here is that because there's a barrier of entry to doing this, because there's a barrier of entry to getting in front of other people's curated groups, and that barrier of entry is twofold. First of all, it's asking to get in front of those groups, because until you've done it a few times, you don't have people reaching out to you saying, hey, can you come talk to
Same with
my group?
podcasts. If you haven't been speaking on podcasts, people don't discover you. They most likely won't invite you if they don't know that you are doing it. Yeah.
Exactly. Once you've done a few, then all of a sudden you're getting all these invitations, because people are desperate for good speakers and good content for their podcast groups, masterminds, conferences, et cetera, et cetera. But the first barrier of entry is you got to ask. You got to say, hey, I'm good at this thing. I have this value to offer and I'm willing to share it. Right. And in most cases, you're doing this for free. Well, you're not accepting money for it, but what you're accepting for it is exposure, leads, and interactions that very rapidly turn to sales. The second barrier of entry is these opportunities, not always, there's ways to do it in writing. You can be a guest blog writer, you can, You can do lead magnet swaps. That's another form of adopting somebody else's audience. But usually it involves some manner of public speaking, which is why earlier I said, if you have this deep, unhealed fear of being seen, fear of being rejected, low self-worth or something like that, this probably isn't going to save you. You still need to heal that stuff before you come to the AAA world, because you still have to be out there and be seen. The good thing about that is most people aren't willing to ask. Most people aren't willing to show up and do a talk. So for those that are, you immediately stand out. You stand up and talk in front of a group of three people, either in person or on Zoom. You immediately have elevated esteem in the eyes of those people, because most people will go their whole life without doing any public speaking at all. And if, when you're given that opportunity, you share something valuable, you demonstrate your expertise. And I want to give people who are paying keen attention a very important tip here. If you demonstrate to people that you understand their challenges as well, or hopefully better than they do, they will automatically see you as a person that can help you overcome those challenges. So if you're doing one of these, I call them collaborations. If you're doing one of these collaborations and you demonstrate your expertise in a way where people come to understand, whoa, this person really knows what they're talking about when it comes to XYZ topic, it's going to be, that's why you can do a by the way pitch, because they've already decided they're going to reach out to you before you even get to the pitch. They've already started seeing you as like, holy jump, this person really solves problems like the ones I have, right? So the last tip there is, there's so much limiting belief and myth and misunderstanding attached to the idea of leveraging other people's audiences, which makes it a blue ocean, right? There's so much opportunity. And this is coming from somebody, yeah, I get in front of other people's groups and do lots of speaking and presentations, but I also moderate, curate, and own multiple groups, right? I have two masterminds, I have private coaching groups. I'm very lucky to have been invited to be faculty for a very important mastermind in my industry. And I know what it's like to need people, to need content for my groups, right? And so when somebody steps up in the right way and offers to bring value, I jump at that opportunity. And a lot of people don't realize this.
I hear what you say totally. See, there is myths, and you mentioned that word, which ultimately popped up because over the last years we heard a lot of myths of how to grow a business, and it was always like, do this and you will be successful, do this and you will be successful. Why? And I'm seeing this a lot, and this is where I'm being the detective, is when I see people trying hard, really hard. Like, and often if you have a little bit of an experience already and you can see those reels when people speak, like even if I look back at my speaking gigs on podcasts, if they're on video, for example, or even on this show, right? Sometimes I take the time to look at myself and listen to myself. What did I say? How, how did I position myself? Because I want to improve constantly. And it is cringe. Yes, in the beginning, you will get used to that. But at some point, I can see also in myself when I got insecure, if I said something that I haven't prepared too well, like my audiences won't see that, but I can recall that feeling because I can see myself. And with a lot of experience over the years, I can see that fear in people's faces when they produce something, right? So, and then at some point, you just didn't disappear. And you've been telling me this in our previous episodes that always when you see someone disappear from a platform, that you just hope that they will come back stronger. I remember these words like as it would have been yesterday. And those myths going on that like, you just do that and you will succeed and go and do that. It's like, it's not so easy, friends. It's just something that you have to get over that resistance of being seen and being the person wanting to be seen, writing that email and saying, hi, I'm Ryan, or in my case, I'm Ivana. I am a keynote speaker professionalizing in this, blah, blah, blah. My mission is, and this is what I want to reach, and I'm interested in contributing to your event, et cetera, et cetera. And yes, you will get a no. But growing a business is at some point not just a self-development journey, but it is also becoming rejection proof. Because the next email you send, which can be the exact same email, will be a yes or a maybe or let's explore. So there is a it's a huge lie that if you just, put yourself out there however you think you should be, and clients will appear on the horizon. And I'm speaking a lot about this because I don't want to say it's impossible, too difficult, because this is total BS. But it is work that needs to be serious. You need to get better every single day you do something. You need to improve at least by 1% to get you where you want to be in a timely manner. Because who do wants to play around for 10 years and not see results? Because this is even more daunting than the task on its own. So how would you say, or how would you go about it? We have somebody brand new who has not a big brand on social media, but has been posting some and has a true line, knows what the person speaks about and is confident in it as well. How would you recommend to go about a pitch to speak in front of somebody else's audiences, if it's group, masterminds, etc.?
Yeah. So one of the big another big secret that wasn't part of the original three secrets that I can give people is what I've discovered for like 99% of entrepreneurs, coaches, online service providers is, they hear about this, they see the power, maybe they look at my case studies or the case studies I've curated and be like, "Oh yeah, holy jumping, this does consistently work." For people, and then they get really excited about like, okay, I got to find these opportunities and pitch people, and immediately the mind goes to like strangers, like, oh well, let me pitch Ryan because I just heard from him and he said he has masterminds, or let me Google who has a group in my area that I could talk to and like find a stranger and convince them to let me talk, and that actually works. Like you really can do that. I've done it. I've had strangers pitch me to get in front of my groups,
Let's
and
be
if
real. This is how people have done it 50 years ago. You write
oh,
an email
exactly.
to a company and be like, "Hello, here I am. Do you want me?"
Oh yeah, absolutely, that works. But Mike, then I give the people this question, like, why would your first thought be to go to like the hardest people to sell, which is total strangers, right? Getting in front of audience owners who are a stranger to you, like you can do it, and some people get like as many as a 50% yes rate because they have a decent pitch, and it's, if you think about it, it's easy if you're offering to do it for free, right? But what I've discovered is most entrepreneurs are one degree of separation from enough curated groups that they can speak to keep them busy for years, especially when you take into account that, like we said earlier, once you've done three or four podcasts and people start hearing them, you start getting invites to be a podcast guest. Once you start doing three or four health fairs for local medium-sized companies where you speak about your therapy service, your coaching service, your whatever service, you start getting invites because the HR people from the different companies talk to each other, right? So, one of the first tasks that I give to my clients when they come and join my coaching program is scour your phone list in your phone, scour your email for the last 3 years. Think about every coach you've ever paid money to help you. Think about every training course you've ever taken where hopefully you excelled in the training and applied it. Because you have a foot in the door with all of these already curated groups. Go to those people and use this magic question, that credit might go to Alex Hormozi, but I think it's just like a jumble of different ideas that have come together in my mind. Go to these leads, go to these contacts, go to these people that you know and say, "Hey, this is what I'm up to these days. And also, I'm looking for groups to present to about XYZ. Do you or anybody you know? Would they benefit from me coming and doing this presentation? By the way, it's for free, right?" And I've yet to find a person who actually does this exercise, goes through all their contacts, sends that magic question, whether it's a DM or a voicemail or a phone call or an email, to a few dozen people, and didn't get multiple opportunities to speak in front of groups, right? And it's so easy because then, remember, we talked about the law of trust transference. Well, of course, they're going to give you a warm, good introduction because they know you, right? They know you. So that's a big secret. That's a big tip. Start there, right? You don't need a big fancy pitch when the person already knows you. You just need to tell them what you're up to, what you want to talk about, and that you're willing to do it for free, right?
Thank you for this. This is an Again, we are looking so often for any kind of magic pill, something big, something that must be complicated. Otherwise, it's not legit, right? But now hearing Ryan saying like how simple it can be, I'm encouraging everyone to at least try. And if you cannot for whatever reason, then go ahead and reach out to Ryan. I know that I remember and I know that Ryan is a very approachable person. He responds to all his emails, to all his questions, because you are in service of people, and this is something this is a great value you've been always leading by. Is there anything that we have forgot to mention that is important that you want to say?
With regard to this method, and I do recommend any entrepreneur, even if you are having success on social media, I recommend you try getting in front of other people's audiences because you might be blown away by how effective it can be. But there are some pitfalls. There are some pitfalls. And the biggest pitfall of all is, and it's human nature. It's not that people are malicious in this, but the biggest pitfall is that people forget that they need to put the needs of the audience owner that they're approaching and their audience first. It's about, making that audience owner look good because they've invited a really good guest speaker who shares lots of value and, treats the group well. It's about making them look good. It's about bringing value to that audience in a manner that they're going to walk away better, whether they buy your product or service at the end or not. That's very important. And if you do those two things, I can't promise or guarantee anything ever. But if you do those two things, they equal sales in many, many cases. If you have an offer that's aligned with the needs of the people in that group. So, don't lose sight of that. And when you don't lose sight of that, you don't do things like accidentally insult the audience owner when you pitch them, which is a which is like what 8 out of 10 people do. Again, this is coming from an audience owner who has people pitching to get in front of my group. And I know anybody who I put in front of my audience has the opportunity to make money via sales. And so yeah, we gotta put the needs of the audience over first, particularly in the pitch. That's a big tip. I do have, it's currently free. That might change soon, but I do have a free boot camp where I teach people my whole methodology for the AAA model. And it's a three-step framework: find the opportunities, pitch the opportunities, and then show up effectively. So I sent you the link for it, or it's on that page I sent you.
Oh yeah.
If anybody
I'll
wants to
make
hop
sure,
in.
guys, this is all in the show notes. So let's go and sign up there. And I'm just going to do what we just learned. Right. I heard that Ryan has an audience that you might be pitching yourself to speak to. So Ryan, at the moment, I am teaching people how to show up on social media, not fear to be themselves, to build an impactful, not an authentic, but an impactful brand. And not suffocate under all these things like fearing, judgment, trolls, time waste, et cetera. Would you be interested if I share my knowledge with your audience? If there are people who still would like to be on social media and you are no longer teaching it, it's for free.
Absolutely. I would love that. I would love to have you as a guest speaker
Okay.
for my
That was
offer.
not well prepared, guys, but this is how it can go. So it's that simple. Go ahead, take those nuggets, this loving message from Ryan close to your heart, because Ryan has been in this industry already for a long, long time. As I said, I learned a lot from him, and I hope you guys too. So
Thank you.
before we round up, I have a last question that I would like to ask you. How would you like to spend your old years, Ryan?
Oh, how would I like to spend my old years? Wow, that's a great question. I think I'm an adventurer at heart, so even in old age, I hope to be traveling quite a lot, eating in luxurious gourmet restaurants, probably.
I know why I'm his friend, though.
Yeah. Probably still going, like, I like conferences, I like learning. Probably still doing that kind of stuff. Maybe doing some speaking. Basically what I do now. I think I would just like to continue doing that just right until I die.
The future
That's
is
the
big.
yeah.
Yeah, so
Future is
see you
the adventure.
there. And thank
Yeah.
you for sharing with us today.
You are most welcome, and thank you for having me.
You're most welcome. It's my privilege.